I'm so happy that you decided to tune in to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. And I invite you to join a great community of entrepreneurs on Facebook. And it's free. It's called Connect, Build, Automate. And it's my private Facebook community. There you will learn more about podcasting and speaking, and you will have a great platform to share ideas, share your knowledge, ask your questions, and get support from a great community. So on Facebook, ask to join Connect, Build, Automate. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 222.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
This week's interview is with a great entrepreneur called Sedan, and I won't pronounce his last name because it's quite complicated and I nailed it when I interviewed him, so I'll let you know a little bit later. And we talk about the biggest mistakes to avoid when you are starting your business. Could be online business, could be a startup, it could be a brick and mortar, but mistakes to avoid. He has great experience in the US and the Indian market and willing to share a lot of great tips, strategies, and things to do in order to progress the right way while building your business. So listen to this, very inspiring, filled with value, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, our guest is Sedan Shanmugasundaram. He's the founder and CEO of HR Cube, a global HR tech startup with markets in India and US. HR Cube is an online marketplace connecting job seekers and hiring managers seamlessly. But after spending 16 months with HR Cube, Sedan is pivoting further and has launched Mintly, an active global community of sales professionals. Sedan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my first question is about the differences that you see in entrepreneurship in USA and in India, because you are building startups in both countries. So would you mind telling us if you have found some similarities or differences, and if entrepreneurship is as encouraged in India as it is here in the USA?
Sure. If you look at the US market, like, so we know that since 1990s, like, you know, Silicon Valley, you know, a lot of startups are coming up in the US, and it's very successful global companies. In the Indian market, like probably in the last 7 to 8 years, startups are picking up a lot. Because of, you know, we learned a lot of lessons from the US market. Every day, a lot of startups coming up in India, we are adapting how the model is working in US and trying to mimic the same. For example, you know, Uber started, the app, like when they started this in a few years back.
Yes.
And there was a company that's just copied exactly what Uber does, and then they started in the Indian market. Say like how Amazon in the US market, we have a similar e-commerce platform in the Indian market. So there are, most of the times we look at the model, the US market, and the, you know, the ideas, and try to replicate the similar things in the Indian market. And mm-hmm. also, just recently, there are product-based companies coming up. And for example, there's recently a company was acquired by Twitter, and Facebook has started having an accelerator kind of a program in Indian market, funding these companies. And Microsoft started another accelerator program in India, investing in startups, building technologies in the Microsoft space. So it's picking up. So one of the things I observed while doing the startups in both the markets is, so here it's very matured in the US market.
Mm-hmm.
In India, we are learning and getting the funding, raising the capital, and the number of risk takers from a VC perspective,
mm-hmm.
and the founders' perspective are not that lot compared to US market yet. In India, like, you know, most of the time we are grown up as like, you know, okay, you go to college, you know, get a job, you know, and settle down in life. The recent generation, people are okay looking at, okay, I want to do my own passion, I want to build my own startup, and then be successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the entrepreneurial spirit is growing, you know, which is a good sign. And we also look at the Chinese market, you know, like, for example, Alibaba has started, focusing on Indian market as well. Even Japan, you know, they're investing in some other startups in Indian market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, which is a healthy sign for the community. Yeah.
Yeah, good. So do you business from the US, or you travel a lot in India also?
I travel a lot to India,
mm-hmm.
and I spend about 6 months a year in India these days.
Okay.
One of the lessons I learned was, like, you know, focusing on both the markets,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's not easy. When we started HR Cube in 2015 January, we were actually, idea was to, okay, how can we go parallelly with the two markets? And later we found out was, like, you know, as we started narrowing down our focus, we spend majority of the time Indian market at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have a presence in US market as well. Part of the reason is, like, you know, there are lot of moving parts, you know, in when you are growing a startup.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of challenges you go through, and you have to adapt to the market, you know, and you constantly validate your business model, and then
yeah.
you should be flexible.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons, you know, I advise anyone, you know, focus on one market, you know, and then try to be the dominant in that market.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a period of time, scale up to other markets.
Yeah, because I guess that your approach to each market was not necessarily the same. So the strategy that you have tried, let's say, in the US might not work as much or as well in India, and vice versa.
Of course, like, it will be a because the if you are building a B2C model, you know, the way the consumer behavior is different here, and it's different in India. At the same time, you know, the penetration into the market may be easier in one country.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the same in other country.
Mm-hmm. I know, reading about you, Sedan, that when you were in seventh grade, you came across an article about the founder of Honda, Mr. Honda, and he created a blueprint for your entrepreneurial journey. Like, you read it and you were like, this is exactly for me. So would you mind giving us the elements of that blueprint and how it has shaped you as a business owner that you are today?
Sure. So this was actually, when I read this article about Honda, like, the struggles he went through, like, you know, as an engineer trying to get a job in Toyota, and it wasn't successful, so he went ahead and, you know, built his company from the scratch. And, you know, building a company like Honda in a Japanese environment,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a very difficult task. And then he has built into a global model. So what I thought is, like, you know even in when you go through rejections in life, if you dream about what you want to do in life, it's achievable. And I thought, you know what? And that was the first article I read about any person, like, so inspiring, you know, that point of time, right?
Yeah.
So I realized, you know what? I should be like this one day. You know, I want to build a organization where I, you know, employ a lot of people, you know, have an impact on someone's lives. So, you know, having grown up in a middle-class family back in India, one of the things is like, you know, we were, you know, the main focus is to, you know, focus on education. Mm-hmm. So I focused on that. And then, you know, I know that I have to, you know, come out of the country if I want to explore more opportunities. Mm-hmm. So my family supported me. You know, I'm thankful to them. And I actually subconsciously, I realized, you know what, I have to be, that's a path, you know, I have to be focused on, you know, reaching that milestone, you know. Mm-hmm. So my, every step I've taken in my life so far, it was just, it was, my subconscious mind was driving me there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all the, you know, the courses I've taken, you know, the companies I work for and the books I've read, so everything is taking me towards, okay, you're going to build a company, you have to build a company, you must build a company. Mm-hmm. So. So that was actually one of the driving force. And this is actually, I read somewhere about this visualization techniques. So I found out it was like a lot of the successful people adopt this visualization techniques. They visualize about, the, you know, what they're going to do, you know, whether they are playing a game or, you know, whether they are going into a, you know, different venture. They always visualize, you know, they, what they saw, what we call is a, you know, begin with an end in mind, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's a very important point. You know, if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur, we have to visualize a lot about, you know, or what we want to, you know, achieve in life as an entrepreneur.
Mm. And I think it's a great lesson here that you just shared, because it's education and knowledge and expertise is not enough. I mean, there's also the motivation, the mindset, the spirituality, how much you believe in yourself and how much you see yourself impacting the world you, the way you want to impact it. So I think, yeah, what you just shared with us is just a proof again that when you put your heart and soul into something, and that you add great mindset to it and of course great knowledge, I mean, there's no way things cannot work out for you, of course, if you follow the right path. So thanks for sharing that. And let's keep going, because I know you've tried several startups and some of them succeeded and some others failed. Some you tried and then after a while you decided to stop because it was not going where you wanted it to go. So since you have an objective look at it now, why would you say that the ones failed did, and why would you say that the ones succeeded did?
The classic mistake, you know, every entrepreneur we make is focus. Mm-hmm. We don't focus on, you know, the what problem are we solving and, you know, how that it's going to make a difference in someone's life. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of times what happens, you know, okay, we have a product or a service and then we decide to pursue further and then we don't realize, okay, is this helping somebody, you know, and have yeah. we validated the product or the idea. So in the initial stages of, you know, in my entrepreneurial journey, so a lot of my startup that I failed because I didn't know what I was doing at that time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, I had an idea, okay, just go and build it. And then what next? You know, so how are we going to take it to the market? Have we validated with the customers? Do you have the feedback with the, from the customers? Mm-hmm. So it's a journey. I think we make mistakes, and I realize, you know, we should be open to make mistakes, because if we don't make mistakes, you know, we won't learn anything, you know.
Yeah.
you know,
so true.
Right. And what I realize is the things that they share in a book or someone's still, you know, sharing through interview, until we apply those principles or ideas and test it out, we won't know the, you know, the real impact of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's you know, for example, if you apply some approach to a product or a service, it may not apply for this, you know, for your product or business.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
That's
so
true.
That's where, you know, what we call about is MVP, you know, the, you know, minimum viable product, because like, you want to test it out, and then you have to be constantly work with the your customers or your clients you know, you have to be very, very close to them. And I always tell my team, we should know more about the clients than the client know about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, great saying here. And again, you said that it's one, it's the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs do when they start something and they don't have any problems that they're solving, or they don't know enough about their clients. So basically, they think they have a great idea or the most wonderful idea ever. But then when they put it into place and try to sell it or try to market it, it's impossible because it's not what people want, and it's not what people will buy or get their credit card out to, you know, make that transaction. So yes, it's a good saying there. You have to know more about your clients than they know about themselves. I love that.
So you know, we in the initial stage of my in my business world, I realized, you know, you can build a product and then, you know, have it everything ready, but unless you roll it out to the clients and then observe them, you know, observe what they want, what they're doing, because it's, you know, you will be curious to see, okay, there are things you think they will like, but they won't like that. They may like something else.
Yeah.
You know, and exactly. You try to pivot it further.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I think if people listening to this interview got just one thing out of it, this is the thing like people should get out of it. If you're starting your online business or if you're building your startup, I mean, you need to know everything about your perfect client, or else, well, you might lose a lot of time creating or producing stuff that won't have any response because that's not what they want. We spoke about how important it was for you to get education. And I know that you quoted that getting your MBA was one of your best decisions in life. So why would you say that, and how did it help you build successful businesses?
Yeah, so you know, I'm from a technical, you know, technology background, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what finance. I didn't know what you know, the supply chain or strategy, accounting. But when I went to this business school MBA program, what I realized was, like, I was able to connect with people from different background, mm-hmm. You know, people from different work experience. I was able to validate my ideas with them and understand, like, you know, how they are looking the same idea from their perspective. Okay, number one. So number two, I was able to expand, you know, the problems or the, you know, the technical approach from a business perspective, you know, because it's a two different spectrum. Because mm-hmm. when you know, we as a technical people, we look at more analytical areas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? We analyze a deep dive thing. That's important. At the same time, you have to sell. You know, if you don't, you can build an awesome product, but if you don't sell me, if you don't convince me to sell the product, you're not going to make the money. And if there is no sales, there's no business. Mm-hmm. So I learned those things. Okay. So how you sell, you know, sales pitch, you know, how do you market it? You know, all those validations I was able to gain from, you know, interacting with all my, you know, my classmates and my professors in mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. So, as a matter of fact, when I was you know, prodding about this HR Cube idea, so I validated my B-School competition, and one of my professors told me, you know, this idea, if you want to really pursue further, you should do it full-time. Because all my previous startups, like I was doing, and I had a day job as well, and I was working on my startups on the sides. But I that was actually a moment I really, you know what, who I want to become. Do I want to become a guy who's an occasional entrepreneur, or do I want to be as an entrepreneur and leave a legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what I want to do, and then just I just decided to quit my full time job and then focus on this 100%. So that was actually one of the turning points in my life. You know what? You know, it polished me. it made me a better person.
Great. Great. And I know that time is flying, and I really have this one last question to ask you, because I've read an article that you wrote last summer for YFS magazine, and you are teaching great lessons for entrepreneurs that are bootstrapping their businesses. So there are like five lessons that you teach there. Would you mind just sharing with us one, two, or three lessons out of those five, and then people can go and read the rest of it on YFS magazine?
Sure. Number one is, like, you know, build a minimum viable product, MVP product. So which means, like, not just the building the product and, you know, rolling it out to the customers or the clients. It's just about, you know, work with them. You know, I give a quick example. When we started with this HR Cube idea, so literally I used to hang out in the Starbucks, you know, meet, you know, the users and talk to them. Hey, this is what I'm doing. You know, what do you think about it? Can you look at this website? Can you look at our business model? So I was able to get the instant feedback from them. It's available free. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if you are in a B2C model, it's the best way is to, you know, go into the public. You know, if you want to travel in a bus, you meet a lot of people. Just talk to them, you know, to get some ideas. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you know, I realize, you know what, if you want, building a lean startup is about, you know, keeping the core competency in you, with you, and then outsource the rest of them. Say, if you are not good at marketing, for example,
yeah.
If you know somebody who's a, you know, terrific marketing agency, work with them on, you know, negotiate them maybe on equity basis or something, and then have that taken care of. You know, obviously, sales is something, you know, it's part of the core team. It should be there. But rest of things can be, you know, outsourced for some, for, you know, for a time being, until you reach a point where, you know, yes, I was able to make profitability.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is, you know, learn to say no to many things, you know. So this is one of the classic example. Most of the time we get distracted as an entrepreneur, because like a lot of people and say, hey, do this, you know, why don't you do that? It eats up our time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to say no to most of the stuff, and then focus, even ultra focus on, you know, on the product development, on the deliverables, you know, working with the you know, the clients or the customers is very important. I think if we really focus on these three things at the beginning, I think, you know, we can have a, like an awesome product and the great quality.
Mm-hmm. So Dan, thank you so much for sharing that. And I invite people listening to go and read it on YFS Magazine, because you'll have like the entire version of the article. So if people want to know more about you and they want to connect with you, where should they go online, Sudan?
They can email me, Sudan, Suddan, at mintly.in. Or they can follow me on Twitter, hashtag SUDDAN001. They can connect me on Facebook as well. I'm always available 24/7. You know, one of the things is I've learned is, you know, the more we give back to the community, you know, the more we can learn from them. You know, I am a strong believer in that. You know, knowledge is something, unless you share with somebody and learn from them, you will not grow.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. It's, what is it for if you learn all of that if you don't share it with anyone?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll just be miserable. All right. Thank you so much for this great interview, Sudan. It was so much fun to talk to you, and great lessons learned here. And I'm sure that you gave just a push to a lot of people listening, starting their online business, starting their small business. Yes, they learned a lot from it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me in the show.
Since in this interview we're in the theme of the mistakes to avoid when starting your business, well, I invite you to get a free gift at marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com, and you'll have a lot of strategies to apply in order to skyrocket your online business in the next 6 months. So marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com and you'll get that free gift. It was such a pleasure to have you again this week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Again, I really appreciate each and all of you. And if you enjoy this show, don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes. So I hope you're crushing it in your business again this week. And I'll see you next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.